friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Amber May Show. I am so excited about today's show because I have an ambassador, a former ambassador, joining us on this episode. So Dr. Jeff Gunter is running for office for United States Senate, and we're going to talk to him about his experiences in Iceland, what he hopes to accomplish in Washington, and what he has found to be true being a physician, especially during COVID. So I have so much that we talk about on this episode. So I hope you will like, share, and subscribe. Send this far and wide. And if you believe in what I'm doing, consider becoming an angel investor. And the easiest way to do that is going to theambermayshow.com. Hit the donate button and donate whatever you feel you can donate. $5, $10, $100, whatever you feel like you can donate. That would be so wonderful. Or you could be a $5 monthly subscriber at going to theambermayshow.locals.com. I'm always on Telegram. I always add more information on my social media. So find me on Telegram at The Amber May Show. I'm on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, and Clout Hub. So join me there. Hey, I just want to say, you know, the holidays are around the corner, and my friend does amazing artwork, and you can find his artwork at thecommandersartist.com. Thecommandersartist.com. Beautiful artwork. You can give it away as a gift or put it up in your home. He's friends with General Flynn, and he's a friend of mine. So go to his website, theambermayshow.com. Use promo code AMBER, and you're going to save some money. Go check out what he's done, and he has put his artwork on Andrew Magazine and several other places. He has artwork up with President Trump. So go check out his artwork at thecommandersartist.com. And when you're there, use promo code AMBER and save some money. Well, without further ado, I'd love to introduce you to Dr. Gunter. I told you Dr. Gunter was going to be on our program today, and I'm very excited to introduce him to you. Welcome to the program.
So great to be here. So great to be here. Thank you for having me. Like I told you before the show, rumor has it, you're amazing. So I'm just honored to be here.
Let all my viewers continue that rumor, please. I'm excited
because I've never... It's true.
I've never interviewed an ambassador before, so this is exciting for me to be able to interview an ambassador and learn about that process. But we obviously can tell you're in a medical office, you're wearing your scrubs, and we know you're a doctor. So I kind of want to find out your story about, like, so you're a doctor, how do you become an ambassador? It's not like you can just fill in an application and ask the president of the United States, can I be the ambassador? I mean, so walk me through how that happened, how you go from being a physician to being an ambassador.
Absolutely. Quite honestly, I've been blessed. When I got out of my training in dermatology at USC, fight on.
You are my rival because I'm a Sun Devil, right?
And uh-oh, USC uh-oh, always plays I'm in Sun. Trouble now. We just started. Yeah. I mean, I decided that I wanted to practice in the rural communities. There was a lot of need that was not being addressed. On top of it, all these rural communities happened to be around military bases. So what I did is I basically went to where there was a need, and I started dermatology practice in mostly rural communities out near Edwards Air Force Base, out near China Lake Ridgecrest in California. I came to Nevada. I've been in Pahrump now for almost 30 years. So I addressed those rural needs. I was successful. And let's face it, a long time ago, the Democrat Party lost me. They just lost me. All my friends.
I got to get into that story too. Yeah. Tell us this because this is, you know, the Democrat Party lost General Flynn too. So, I mean, I want to talk about that part. So I'm sorry, but let's go on with your story.
No, not at all. No, it's all great. And all my friends said, you're Republican. So I got engaged. And in 2008, when Barack Obama was elected, someone suggested that I go on the national board of what's called the RJC, Republican Jewish Coalition. And a lot of the great Republican leaders are there. Sheldon Adelson, who we miss tremendously, was on the board of directors there, other former ambassadors. And it really turned out that it was a home for me. It was a place where I got along with people. We shared our common values and we shared our love of America. One thing led to the other. Donald Trump came down the escalator and I was one of the few people who said, I love Donald Trump. I love what he stands for. He's speaking the truth. Everything he's saying, you know, is truthful, is straightforward. He's not a politician. And I got very engaged helping him very early on. And when it came to be choosing ambassadors, I'd shown leadership by being engaged in various Republican organizations for the last 15 years. I was very publicly supportive of the president. And I got a phone call one day from the Office of Presidential Personnel saying, Jeff, would you mind coming in? We'd like to talk to you. And like all of us, we go into these interviews and we have these ideas of what they're going to be. And I had some suggestions and really they had some other things in mind. And I was blessed to be sent to Iceland. And I was U.S. ambassador to Iceland, which is one of the original NATO signatories. So it's a NATO country. And boy, is that important right now with everything that's going on in Ukraine. It was an amazing experience. And I carried out America First policies. That's what I did. Is there wasn't a single morning where myself and Heather didn't wake up and say, we are here representing the President of the United States. We are here representing America First. We are here representing Donald Trump. And we're here representing the American people. What do they want us to be doing?
Oh my gosh. Wow. And, so we're going to find out more about Iceland. Okay. But I have to go back to what you previously said. It's not super, like, it's not some, a lot of people actually are jumping ship from the Democrat Party to the Republican Party. And frankly, between you and I and everyone watching, I'm surprised Robert F. Kennedy Jr. hasn't done it yet. And probably he won't because of the legacy of his family. But I feel like they've left him behind even. The Democrat Party of old just seems to be disappearing. And it seems to me, so I'm just giving you my perspective and I'm excited to hear yours because you were part of the party. Now you're not. It just got so radicalized, just so incredibly radicalized, and they won't even come to the table, my perspective, to negotiate. And look at what's happening right now with the continuing resolution. They always want to fund Ukraine. We're tired of funding Ukraine when we have, and I know you've touched on this with some articles, this open border thing. So we're going to go protect someone else's border while our own is wide open. We have learned that it's a money laundering scheme. At least part of it's a money laundering scheme. We have learned that. So that being said, this is just my viewpoint. What made you jump ship from being a Democrat to becoming a Republican?
Exactly what you discussed. A long time ago, they lost touch with the American public. The policies they are advocating for now are straight out of the socialist Marxist playbook. And I don't mind saying that. When they want to replace parents with government, that is Marxism. When they want to stifle your ability and individuals like yourself who are doing these amazing podcasts, and they want to stop your exposure, that is Marxism. That is not democracy. They are trying to control our lives. They are trying to be parents to our children. And that's exactly what's being embraced and controlled by the Democrat Party right now. And I don't really honestly see how anyone could wake up to the 1% great numbers that we had before for inflation. We had 3.5% unemployment. And now they're waking up. And what are they seeing? 7% inflation, wild gas prices. They're trying to give hormones to our children without talking to the parents. And then if the parents push back, they have the DOJ energized to go after them. This is not a party in America. America is unrecognizable. And that's why I'm also running for U.S. Senate, because I can't take it anymore. And once in a, you know, sometimes in our life, we have to say, if not now, when? And for me, with my background, my experience, my foreign policy experience, my experience of taking care of patients for nearly 30 years here in Nevada with skin cancer, as we've discussed before, I'm uniquely qualified. I love President Trump. I'm running hard right in that America First Trump lane. And he's leading America. And if we don't elect President Trump, God knows what kind of country we're going to have after 2024.
You and I are both in the states where they're really manipulating the vote. In 22, Maricopa County. Okay, I can speak to that. I don't know what happened in other counties, but I live in Maricopa County. 60% of the machines went down right away on day of voting because they knew the majority of us were going to come out day of to vote.
What a surprise. How did
Yeah,
that happen?
exactly, right?
Wow.
And then they told us all of a sudden, this is new information that there's a checkout procedure and a check-in procedure. Well, many of if this really was a thing, but I mean, we had the chairman of the board come on and say, yes, there is a chair check-in and checkout, but not very many people were trained in how to do that. So you had some people trying to go to three or four different polling places to cast their vote because the machine wasn't working. So then they said, well, then you can put your ballot into tray three, which means adjudication. The majority of the Maricopa County ballots went to adjudication. That means we're trusting someone to vote on our behalf. And then not only that, our ballots went to a third party that had no government oversight called Runbeck. This new company, this not new, but they had no ties to government. Whole just a political company sends our they send our ballots to Runbeck to get tabulated. Now they're lost chain of custody. The county board of supervisors lost chain of custody. They don't know exactly how many ballots went, and this was from court cases, legislative hearings. You can look back on Carrie Lakes and the Arizona State Legislature to find all this information out for yourself. But they had lost chain of custody to know how many ballots went to Runbeck. There was lack of signature verification. Again, go to court cases, go to the legislative hearing. You can hear that to be true. On top of that, then you had our county recorder and the chairman of our county board create a political action committee against any America First candidates. Then you had Secretary of State, then Katie Hobbs, overseeing her own elections and threatened two different county board of supervisors for wanting to canvass the vote. She threatened both, and I talked to the one in Mojave County, the chairman of Mojave County. And he said he canvassed under duress. They wanted to look at the ballots to really truly canvass. They were t It just kind of hit them all of a sudden that they've been rubber stamping the canvassing, and she threatened prison time. So they didn't look at the ballots. Now, if everything's so free and fair, why are you threatening prison time for looking at the ballots? So with all that being said, we needed a new election and we didn't get one. You're running for office and you're in one of those states that they're coming after. I hope that if things don't go your way, that you'll really look into and try to find and see and dig if there was maladministration done in your election. Because we need men like you in office that care about the American people, that care about the American way of life. Because right now, our country, and I know you know this to be true, on the verge of destruction. What are your thoughts on that?
So beautifully said, so wonderfully laid out, and so smart and so clear. If not now, when? Things have gotten progressively worse. On the social issues, they're trying to take control of our kids away from us. The government is trying to do that. During the COVID pandemic, if you expressed views that are currently established to be correct now, if you said them 2 years ago, they would threaten to yank your license. They would threaten you with legal action. And so clearly, what they are doing is trying to stifle you, me, and your listeners. They're trying to stop us. They're trying to prevent us from talking about the things that are important as America, as our democracy. And if we don't step up now, we might not have another chance.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hey, friends, I want to tell you what I recently did. I broke away from the big three. I was tired of the woke mogul, and I wanted to go to a Christian conservative company that I could trust that support the organizations that I value, and that is Patriot Mobile. So when you go to patriotmobile.com/amber, you are going to get free activation. It is super easy to get started to switch from the big three to Patriot Mobile. They'll walk you step by step. It is not difficult at all. And I've had tremendous service since I made the switch. So I recommend if you want to vote with your wallet and support a company that supports your values, go to patriotmobile.com/amber and save on a free activation. So that's patriotmobile.com/amber. Now the links are in the description below or on my website at theandermayshow.com/promo. So check that out. So It's time to vote with our wallet, ditch the woke mobile, and go to a Christian conservative mobile, and that is patriotmobile.com/Amber.
Hey, this is Jeff Dornick, and you're watching The Amber May Show.
Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AmberMay, one word, and that will help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children, so one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender, I put a pill in there, I fill it with water and like some flavoring, and then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AmberMay, and save some money.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And that's why I'm running.
I love that. I love that you're running. So I do want to get back to Iceland, but because you're a physician, you can speak to this.
Uh-huh.
The attack on the kids saying that, I don't know if you're a religious person or not, but I am. And what they're saying is God made mistakes with people, that he put people in wrong bodies. So if I'm a female and I feel like I'm a male, God really made the mistake, and it's up to man to correct the mistakes God made. That's what I hear. And then when parents want to try and work through that, you're right, they are threatened to get their kid removed, which is outrageous. From a physician standpoint, what happens to the body when, let's say, a female takes male hormones or vice versa? How does that affect the human body?
Medically, it was called gender dysphoria long before this whole discussion happened. Whatever a parent and a child wants to do, it's up to the parent and that child. Mm-hmm. You cannot have the government step in between that relationship. And certainly until someone is 18 years of age, there's so many restrictions on minors. To think that a school district, a judge, is somehow going to intervene and destroy this child's life for generations to come is absolutely bizarre. It's un-American. It's unpatriotic. It's not religiously correct either. It's not what God would want. And it's just plain wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So what they are doing right now is Marxism. They are replacing all our values, everything we believe in, from parents to God to family to our religion, and they are distorting it, and they're willing to take it to extreme limits, including giving hormones to kids without checking with their parents. And it's not healthy, it's not good, and we have to stand up against this. And they're getting a pushback now, and they'll find other issues. You know, they did Occupy Wall Street. They did BLM. Now they're doing critical race theory. They do all these different things. They interject it into society. They see what sticks. What doesn't stick, they move on to the next thing. Let's do some a little accounting on BLM and see where all that money went. That was a good ploy. And you don't see people jumping around on that wagon anymore either, because they realize they were duped. And they're getting a big pushback on critical race theory, on all the gender stuff that we're seeing right now. It's not right, it's not American, it's not healthy. And you, myself, and your listeners, and those of us who do love God, and those of us who do believe in faith, and those of us who do believe that we're a country founded on faith, will push back, and we will be an army, and we will defeat these monsters.
Now, I read an article that you wrote, and you talked about in the beginning of your medical career, you dealt with the HIV pandemic. Was it a pandemic? I was too young to know, but I do remember in the 1980s and even into the 90s, everyone was talking about the HIV. Now, was that gain of function that, and I mean, explain to me what you were talking about in the article and how you were dealing with that early on in your career.
When I first started medical school, that's when HIV kind of came on the scene. We didn't know whether it was aerosolized in the air. We didn't know if it was passed through sexual contact. We didn't know it was passed through blood transfusions. We just didn't know. So there was a lot of investigation going on. But at the time, when you're in medical school and you're seeing this, you're taking the normal precautions and you're going through the process. And to be quite honest, back then, 40 years ago, I thought Fauci was not the best person to have in the media as much as he loved it. You could just tell he loved talking about this stuff. He loved being in the media, and that was what he enjoyed. And lo and behold, here we have COVID coming 3 years ago, and who came on board right away was Fauci. And I knew leading my embassy from the beginning that I felt there was a gain of function process going on here when it came to COVID. In fact, my comments to my team when things started kind of falling apart around the world was that my guess was that this came from maybe a bat, because we know the virus started somewhere into a bottle and then somehow got out of that bottle. And I felt that the way that this virus was acting and working was probably gain of function. And it was just very unusual what was happening. It was highly, highly, highly infectious. It came, the initial cases were out of Wuhan. Whether the Chinese intentionally infected the world, I wouldn't put it past them. Whether they unintentionally infected the world, I don't know. They're often incompetent with certain things, the CCP and all them. But we do know that they shut down air travel within China, but they allowed people to travel to northern Italy and beyond. So when I was in Iceland, a lot of people had gone to northern Italy to vacation and ski, and all of a sudden, Iceland had one of the highest incidents of COVID around the world. Myself, having cut my teeth with HIV, knew exactly what to do. We went to right away full remote workplace. I was the first US embassy to go to full remote workplace. We did temperature screenings. Ironically, at the time, we were pushing masks. Why? Because we did not know anything about this virus at the beginning. We just didn't know. And who pushed back on me from wearing masks? The State Department.
No
So
way. The ones that couldn't. Oh my gosh.
ironically, the institution that, when there's really almost no medical evidence now to show that masks work, early on were pushing against it. So we were highly successful at US Embassy Reykjavik. I can't take all the credit for it. I had a phenomenal team of people. We had zero COVID infections. No one died during COVID under my administration. And it was all the leadership of Donald Trump. We actually even finished the US Embassy, which is a huge accomplishment in the setting of COVID. And President Trump's name is proudly displayed on it, as well as mine. But it's a huge accomplishment to do those things and not infect anyone with COVID and have no one die of COVID during COVID. It shows that life can go on. It showed, it was proof of concept that we shouldn't shut down everything. We shouldn't shut down people. We can find ways to make it work in these settings. And that's what we did. And it was a
You know, when you went to medical school, you knew going in there you were going to deal with sick people, right?
Of course, that's why I was there, to take care of people.
Exactly. It was so mind-boggling how so many physicians would refuse to see patients. I mean, and if they did, it was very, very, there was so many rules and everything in place. I'm just like, wait a minute. I thought you were going to school to and graduate so you could see sick people like me. And suddenly all these doctors across the country weren't seeing sick people. I'm like, this is so bizarre. Didn't you find that bizarre too?
You know who I found the heroes to be? So many of the nurses were so brave, and the nurses took care of so many people during COVID. And what's even more outrageous is those same nurses who did not want to get vaccinated were then threatened to lose their job, and their livelihoods were threatened, and many of them went into other fields as well. The same with so many people in our military who were proudly staying on guard during COVID and then refused and did not want to take an unproven vaccine. And then they were threatened with getting expulsion and everything else that went along with it. So we had some great patriots, so many of the nurses, so many of our service people that proudly served relentlessly during COVID. And it's a shame that the treatment that so many of them got. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that they were right. Look at masks. A Cochrane study came out. I encourage your listeners to read the Cochrane study. Randomized clinical trials from all over the world that show just plain regular masks have no proven benefit. And N95 masks, maybe a little bit, but it's not really clear. And this is a huge study that showed it. So everyone who was getting chastised, all those poor kids who had to, you know, stay away from school or wear masks and all things like that. The pain that these kids are going to feel for decades to come is still unknown, but it was damaging to their education. And as a community, we have to learn from it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't tell you how many aggressive statements I heard from people condemning those who would not get vaccinated.
Right.
And somehow as if they were going to be more infectious to the general population as opposed to less. And guess what? That wasn't true. That wasn't the case. You know, perhaps the vaccine cut down on hospitalizations. Okay, I'll give them that early on. But the long-term sequelae, the long-term side effects of it are still really quite not understood. And I know many pathologists who are seeing some terrible malignancies, cancers, and things in hospitals anecdotally that we just never saw before COVID. Whether it's the virus, whether it's the vaccine, it will play itself out. But I think what we have to do is never forget our values, that we as Americans value individual freedom more than anything. That is, freedom is what people were bobbing in the waves off of Normandy, Utah Beach, and Omaha to protect. We all wake up every day to protect our freedom. And if you look at all the despots and dictators around the world, what have they done? They've taken crises as an opportunity to take our liberty, to take our religion, and to take our freedom away.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to stand up, and we can't let it happen.
So Iceland doesn't usually make the news here in the U.S. So I'd love to hear some of the stories that you, as the ambassador, did while in Iceland and things like that. Like, I'd love to learn more about what you did over there and being an ambassador and some of the stories, some of your favorite stories.
Great question. Absolutely. As I said, Iceland is one of the original signatories of the NATO Accords. They are in a very strategic location. They are in the North Atlantic. Winston Churchill and others have described the GIUK gap, Greenland, Iceland, and UK gap. As we remember during World War II, the Germans had great success shooting many of our ships out of the water there with submarines. It's a very strategic area. There is a great power struggle going on right now between America, Russia, and China. So under President Trump's brilliant direction and foresight to see the importance of the region, we were there to assert America's strength in the high north. We all can see that parts of the Arctic are melting. And what does that mean? It means that China wants to advance waterways up there. China wants to look for resources. Russia wants to protect itself as well. So we have these great competitors in the high north, and America has to show strength. We have to show smartness and dedication, and we want to create stability. And that's what bothers me so much when I see how hard President Trump and all of us were working for stability in the high north to see an unstabilized Ukraine, to see that we had a commander in chief suggest that Vladimir Putin could just take a slice of Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
What type of message is that sent?
Mm-hmm.
You know what it creates? That weakness creates conflict.
Mm-hmm.
That weakness has created billions and billions of U.S. dollars and hundreds of thousands of lives on both sides of the conflict between Ukraine and Russia. And it's for what? Whenever you have weakness, you get chaos. When you show strength, you get peace and stability. And I do believe President Trump when he says he would put those guys in a room and in 24 hours, he would stop this conflict and the money that we're spending in Ukraine could be spent at home. We could be sealing our border. We could be taking care of our schools.
Mm-hmm.
So many more things that we could do.
Help the people of Lahaina who lost everything.
100%. Yeah. And there's so much to solve, but I'll tell you one cute story from Iceland. At President Trump's direction and really great insight and smart leadership by Vice President Pence, he decided that he wanted to come to Iceland. And in order to provide security, many of us can see there's an important animal that's important to provide security for all of us, which are dogs. Mm-hmm. And we literally spent 2 to 3 weeks negotiating with the Icelanders to make sure that there was adequate dogs to provide adequate security to have the Vice President of the United States come to Iceland. And let me tell you, it was a negotiation.
Really?
Because they have very strict veterinarian laws in Iceland. Oh. It used to be that it was a 30-day quarantine. And do you think America is going to take its important assets, its canines, and leave them in Iceland for 30 days?
Mm-mm.
No way.
Mm-mm.
It was a very difficult and tough political issue. But I had great working relationship with the Icelandic government. They really, really, really were great to work with, but they were tough. We negotiated. And then ultimately, we found a way. In fact, Vice President Pence said, I'm going to Iceland. And he did it to assert strength in America power in the high north. And we found a way with our limited assets to make it work. And it was a glorious visit from Vice President Pence. And it was fulfilling the wishes of the greatest president of the United States that we've had since Abraham Lincoln, Donald J. Trump. And it was a great success for America, how we found a way to address the four-letter word, which was D-O-G-S, dogs.
Mm. That's wonderful.
It was really a great day. And look at how prophetic it turned out to be. Mm-hmm. Because that important visit by Vice President Pence at direction of Donald Trump asserted our strength in the high north, asserted that we were competing with Russia and China. And then you have an administration that shows tremendous weakness, and then Russia jumps into Ukraine. So that just is a great way to compare and contrast the leadership of the Trump administration versus the current administration that we have there now. It's strength versus weakness. Look at the withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Oh, absolutely. My God, that was horrible.
Horrible. 13 brave service members for no reason. You know, when do we leave people behind? When do we evacuate Bagram Air Force Base before? I mean, it was just complete. It was sad and it was inexcusable. And it would never have happened with Donald J. Trump. No way.
The Taliban took over that area. It made it a very unsafe area for the people living there. When you saw the pictures of moms giving their babies to strangers, so the soldiers over walls, it's just like you had to really think those moms had to think it was so much better not to have their kids with them because of the possible danger of the Taliban than to give it to a soldier going back to the United States. Are they ever going to see that child again? I don't know. But like, that's the depravity of what happened when Joe Biden did that horrible exit out of Afghanistan. And then the pictures of how desperate these people were. These men had to know that was not a viable thing to do, to stand on the wheels of an airplane. There's no oxygen up there. It's too, well, there is, but little oxygen. It's very cold up there. It's not something that people can survive. And then you saw men after man fall from the sky. I mean, from a humanitarian perspective, just that alone, it was horrible to watch. I was in tears watching some of this stuff happen because I'm like, what if I was the Afghanis? How would I feel? That would really make me angry against the American people, that they just abandoned us the way they did instead of a peaceful departing or figuring out a way to strengthen that area of the country, the world, so that the Taliban wouldn't come over and just destroy them and create utter chaos. So, yes, that was so bad. And my heart did really mourn for those people there watching that. And then you talk about our border, our U.S. border. Oh, really quick, back to Iceland. You and I are from desert states. So how did that work out to go from desert to the complete opposite of desert? And you're now in snow country and cold country. How did that, like, tell me about that.
It's an amazing country. It's an amazing people. We had an amazing team in Iceland. So it was great. If you think about it in elementary school, they always used to say, Iceland should be called Greenland and Greenland should be called Iceland.
Right.
Iceland is a gorgeous country. I encourage everyone to go there. They're a partner of America. Everyone there speaks English and it was fantastic. But really, just like yourself and so many of your listeners, you know, I was there on a mission. I was on there to take America First policies at the direction of the President of the United States. When you're a U.S. ambassador, you're exemplary and plenipotentiary in country. You have the full authority of the President of the United States. And like I said earlier, every single day we were working. We were working to make sure that President Trump's policies and the American public's hopes and dreams and money was properly spent to make us safer at home. I was there for the protection and the prosperity of the American people. Sure, I had a great time. Sure, it's a great posting. Sure, I love Iceland. But really, I was there to take care of you, your listeners, and all the Americans at home, and to make sure that when Donald Trump heard about what was going on in Iceland, he was saying, yes, Ambassador Gunter is my representative. He's doing a great job, and he's making me proud, and he's taking care of America and the voters. And that's why we were there.
So you took an article, and you wrote an article, and in the article you talked about the health and safety of the American people with a no border system that's happening right now. Tell me about what you said in that article.
Fentanyl, fentanyl, and fentanyl to start. Well over 100,000 of our youth and also many other people have died from fentanyl coming across the border. They don't want to talk about it. I heard about a speech the other day that someone in the Biden administration was, and they were talking about an important issue, but you don't hear them talk about fentanyl destroying our children. I have a friend whose son is in medical school. Actually, he's now in his medical training, and he went into the ICU. The intensive care unit has young individuals, and why are they there? They're there from fentanyl overdoses. Mm. The ingredients are made in China. They're shipped to Mexico. They're assembled in Mexico, and they're brought into our country. It's killing our kids and killing our people.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. So when I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. I am not going anywhere else. From now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from mypillow.com/Amber. And you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas, or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to mypillow.com/Amber. Use promo code Amber, save up to 66% off, and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable, super comfortable.
Hello, this is Tanya Joy from Beauty for Ashes, and you are watching The Amber May Show.
In the early 1900s, like in 1920s, 30s, you with $20, you used to be able to buy an entire men's suit. You could get the handkerchief, the tie, the vest, the jacket, the pants, the belt, everything. And you could also buy that with a piece of gold. Now, in today's standards, you can't buy much with $20, maybe a tie, maybe that's it. You could not even come close to an entire men's suit with a $20 bill. However, if you still had a piece of gold, you could still buy an entire men's suit with that piece of gold. See, silver and gold have intrinsic value, and it's had intrinsic value since the beginning of time. It's always been a currency around since the existence of man, gold and silver. So why not protect your investments and protect your earning power by owning some gold and silver? And the easiest way to do that is contacting Jim Tewell at EPSWealthManagement.com. That's Edward Paul Sam, WealthManagement.com, EPSWealthManagement.com. Give him a call and let him know you'd like some, have some tangible assets in your portfolio. You'd like to have some gold and silver, and he can help you do that. So if you're ready to protect yourself and protect your investments, then go ahead and give Jim Tewell a call, whom you've seen on our program at EPSWealthManagement.com. Let him know Amber May sent you.
You are listening to The Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
On top of it, it's inhumane to those individuals that are trying to come across the border. They're risking their lives. Their kids are being risked. You're not getting the top-notch people coming across the border, like President Trump said. And to be quite honest, not only do we all see it, but many in the Latino community see it as well. They left these problems behind in their countries of origin. They don't want to see MS-13 all of a sudden end up in their particular communities. Mm-hmm. They are not for this. They are for an organized and legal immigration to America, not a complete loss of border like we're seeing from Alejandro Mayorkas or Ali Mayorkas or whatever you want to call Ali. And
So wait. What you're saying is it's not the safest border you've ever seen?
No border, no country. Countries are defined by their border. When you fly somewhere, you don't go, I'm just going to Europe. Or where you're going, I'm just going to Europe. No, you're going to the Netherlands. You're going to Belgium. Countries are defined by borders. And it's sad. It's scary. It's very cynical what they're doing. They're putting our democracy at risk. They're putting those individuals that are making the dangerous trek at risk. They're killing our kids with fentanyl. And it needs to stop. We need to take care of this problem immediately. If you do not have a border, we do not have a country.
Are you worried? Because this is my fear. We just remembered 9/11 a few weeks ago. And my fear, because we have the Chinese nationals coming in, we have a lot of people that do not hate, that hate America coming into our country. This is my fear. We are going to see some type of terrorist attack in the United States because all these cells are coming in, and my fear is they're making a plan, a strategy on how to take these people out. I don't know. I fear that there is a nefarious agenda with these men that are coming into our country and somehow going to harm the American people. Do you feel that way too? Or am I just being paranoid?
You're not wrong. I'm worried as well. And if you look at the relationship between organized crime and terror, they get along quite well. So the fact that we're seeing an increase in organized crime and drug cartels and all that puts us at tremendous risk with organizations, with terrorist organizations around the world is all. If you do not have a border, you do not have a country. If you can't protect the American people, what are you doing as President of the United States? That's why I went to Iceland as U.S. ambassador. That's what I'm trying to do as a senator going forward when I do become elected, and we will win this in Nevada, is to take care of Nevadans. And that's what we do. That's why we're here. It's not some political dogma of acting how we want the world to be. We as conservatives look at the world how it is and try to make it a better place. And that's the difference there.
So let's talk about your campaign.
Yes, you're right. And I agree with you.
Well, good. Let's talk about your campaign a little bit. So you talked about, you know, the America first and how, like, if not now, when? I love that. Because you could be doing anything other than running for office. You take care of people for a living. And I'm sure you have a wonderful group of community members that you're associated with. And you know, you could be playing golf every Saturday if you wanted to. So what are you hoping to accomplish when you win the election to become a U.S. senator?
On not only day one, hour one, second one, we need to shut the border, number one. Number two, we need to get inflation under control, get it down to 1%. We need to have our unemployment, our real unemployment rate below 3.5%. Everything that President Trump was doing. We have to have an all of the above energy policy. We don't want to end up like Germany being beholden to Vladimir Russia. Yeah, we need an all of the above energy policy.
I really like what you said, all the above. I'm not against green energy as long as it's efficient, but right now it's not there yet with the nuclear and the coal power plants.
100%.
I don't want to go from a first world country to a third world country. So the Western Journal had a great article because the Biden administration is really trying to push the electric vehicle super hard. And what the Western Journal, and I have it on some of my social media, but by the time some people watch this, you're going to have to scroll up. What they did is they had to take gasoline powered cars to follow this lady around because where she was going, driving to point A to point B, didn't always have a charging station. And then one of these folks that she was traveling with who had a gas power engine held the spot for this lady when there was a family with a baby and there was not a lot of charging stations nearby. So it happened to be like one of the only ones. So they are running out of electricity in their car to keep air conditioning going. And these people are refusing to move from their spot. So this lady, when she gets there, can charge up. I mean, you see how the federal government doesn't care about the American people when they would be willing to let a baby suffer in a non-air-conditioned car rather than making that lady who's trying to push this electric vehicle thing that's not there yet. When you want to travel nationwide, you have to go from jump station to jump station to jump station, and sometimes on your route it may not be very close by. So they're trying to give you the perception that the electrical vehicles can do exactly what the gas power vehicles can do, which it can't yet. I'm not saying it can never happen, but if they're going to push this on us and forcing the car manufacturers, force them into creating this car that can't compete quite yet to the point of the gasoline. Now, if you live in a city and you're just going back and forth to work, that's fine. That's one thing. But when you want to go across country and take vacation, it's a whole nother thing. And to risk this family's life, this child's life, that really torqued me off, like big time. So I like when you say all the above. I'm not against the green energy. But to push it on us when it's not there yet, look at California. They constantly have to use our nuclear power plants to supply themselves because they have all this wind turbine, and sometimes those wind turbines aren't turning. I've driven to California. I've seen it. And I'm like, so they constantly want to take from our power supply, our nuclear, build your own nuclear power, California, because your wind power is not there yet. I'm not saying don't do it. I'm just saying don't make us stop using gas-powered stoves, using nuclear power plants until your green energy is to the level. I'm sorry, that kind of just, you hit a little button with me because I just don't want to go from a first world country to a third world country.
One of the beauties of what's going on with Donald Trump and America First is what Ronald Reagan saw. Ronald Reagan, like Donald Trump, saw a new sense of great American patriotism. But they also found common sense. And exactly what you're saying right now is 100% common sense. Why do you have to do all or nothing? Not at all. We can have an all of the above energy policy. Mm-hmm. We can have petroleum and gas. We can have wind. We can have solar, and we can have nuclear. And all those keep America safe. Mm-hmm. They all keep us prosperous. They let us take care of our families. It stops the crazy inflation that we're seeing now. So I couldn't agree with you more. There will be a place for electric cars, and there is one right now, and it's progressing forward. But why make us beholden? Why make the middle class pay all this inflationary activities right now? And that's what's wrong with the administration. And that's what was so fantastic about the prior administration and Donald Trump. He got it. It was all the above energy. And Secretary Perry came to Iceland to look at the geothermal energy that we had up there. And he's a fantastic person. I love Secretary Rick Perry when he came there. We had a great time, a great tour together when we looked at some of the geothermal plants there. But it was all the above energy. It's common sense. And you know something? America's founded on common sense. Mm-hmm. And it was back at our founding, it was common sense for religious freedom. It was common sense to explore other places where the government was beholden to us and we weren't beholden to them. Mm-hmm. And that same common sense policies will carry us through in the next election. And we take care of all these issues that you're so smartly touching on.
Would you be okay once you make it into office, just drilling into our own oil supply so we're not beholden to Saudi Arabia? We have so much petroleum in our own country that we could be just fine and self-sufficient.
We were there.
Yeah.
President Trump had us there. So you got to ask yourself, well, is this president compromised? Does this have to do with Hunter Biden? Does it have to do, like, why would you stop us from being in energy, you know, independent? We were, we are, we have tremendous resources here in America. It creates American jobs. Why export all that stuff? Mm-hmm. So that's what America First policies are. It's about all the above energy, making sure that America is dependent on itself. And it's also about disarticulating slowly from China as well. We don't want to be beholden on the Chinese for everything. They are a very strong adversary, and they view their relationship with us as just a blip. They've been around for thousands of years, so they're a little behind in the race. They feel like they're supposed to be the dominant country around the world, and we are the dominant country. Our values are dominant, and it's the individuals that America puts its liberty in, its strength in, that will help us win that battle as well.
Let me ask you this. If you get to office, are you willing to look at these big corporations and possibly think about breaking them up? Because it's like only 5 or 6 big major companies own all the media. Only a few major hotels own all the chains across the country. I feel like we're shifting from being a capitalistic society where we weren't supposed to have a lot of monopolies to having a lot of monopolies to put the power in a few, the power in a few hands versus the power in the many. Are you willing to take a look at seeing how we have possibly been shifting our capitalistic society, our way of life, when the poor can move up to the middle class could move up to the rich? And if you worked hard enough and you really tried, the possibility of earning more income was there. The American dream of there was there success with the competition and free trade. Are you willing to look into those economic issues when you become senator?
I believe that someone has to look at Facebook, Google, and understand what their role is in censoring Americans. Mm-hmm. We also have to look at their role in terms of whether they're protected from lawsuits for slandering people or putting false narratives through and things like that. Right now, they're a protected entity. And I know President Trump was looking at removing those protections and allowing individuals to go after these large media companies when they're committing falsehoods against various individuals. That's where I would go with that right now. But we will overcome. We will succeed. When Elon Musk took over Twitter, we were able to see all the terrible things that they were doing to America. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to media companies, it's kind of like a cockroach theory. You know, when you see one cockroach in your kitchen, there's probably many others. When you see absolutely what Elon Musk uncovered at Twitter, I can promise you similarities were going on with many of the media companies, whether it's mainstream media or social media. And they're just trying to stifle us. They're trying to beat mm-hmm. us down. They're trying to make us have not a voice. They're trying to influence our opinions. And shows like yourself and great Americans and faith-based people will not put up with it. And we will overcome, and we will climb the mountain, and we will make sure that they don't do that to all of us.
I love it. Well, I've really enjoyed our discussion and getting to know you, Dr. Gunter. I think you're a very fascinating person. So you have practices not only in Nevada, but in Arizona. Do you have practices in other states?
Yeah, like I said, originally we set up to serve rural communities. So I go to many of the less visited places in Texas. We are in some larger communities in Arizona, California, and in Nevada as well. But I spend my time in Nevada. It's my state. I love it here. I love the freedom, and we have to protect that freedom.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It sounds corny, but as a physician, I have to stop the bleeding.
Yes, no, 100%.
We have to stop the bleeding from other states to make sure that we're a battle-born state. We have tremendous freedom. What happens in Las Vegas stays in Las Vegas. And one of the things that I'd like to stay here is our freedom, the ability to invest in individuals and not be told what to do all the time. And if we had it the other way, the Democrats want to tell us how to eat, sleep, breathe, raise our children as if they're somehow the authorities. Mm-hmm. They're not. We're going to push back hard. We're going to push back hard with America First. We're going to push back hard with faith. And like I said, we're going to climb this mountain and we're going to get to the promised land. And we will.
How do my viewers get a hold of you if they have any skincare needs that they need to reach out to?
Yeah, I mean, you can look me up online. Politically, go to drjeffgunter.com. And that's my main focus right now is how we can help Nevada and how we can help America. So if you go to drjeffgunter.com and log on and donate if you like the message and if you want to help save America, because boy, if not now, when?
Yeah, because I was going to go to your political website too, so I didn't know if they could reach both of you.
Sure, yeah. And you'll find it. It's called Summit MD Dermatology.
Oh, Summit MD Dermatology.
But, you know, I'm really here to take care of the people of Nevada, take care of America.
Right. That's your main focus. And that's what I was going to say. So your U.S. Senate website is drjeffgunter.com.
100%.
Okay, great.
And you're doing a phenomenal job. Thank you for what you do. Like I told you at the beginning of the interview, rumor had it that you're amazing and you still are. And God bless you and all your listeners.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Gunter. I appreciate your time today. Saving people's lives and saving America all in one day.
You got it. I got to go to work. So, all the best. God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Do you love coffee? Well, you're not alone. Over 150 million Americans drink more than 400 million cups of coffee each day. But does your coffee love you as much as you love it? According to the University of Santa Maria in Brazil, the average coffee today contains up to 117 pesticides and over 30 mycotoxins. And long-term pesticide and toxin exposure has been linked to many health issues such as Parkinson's, asthma, depression, anxiety, ADD, ADHD, cancer, and more. So perhaps the problem is in your cup of coffee. But don't worry, Java Boost Coffee is here to help. With triple lab tested organic coffee, coconut cream, ginger, turmeric, and the newly discovered muscadine grape with over 100 antioxidants, and better still, no pesticides, mycotoxins, there's no roasting, brewing, grinding, measuring, or even sweetening. Java Boost Coffee reduces hunger and cravings, stabilizes blood sugar, and promotes mental energy and clarity. Just add a scoop of Java Boost to hot or cold water, and you're ready to enjoy the delicious cup of gourmet, healthy coffee for less than $2. How much are you paying for your unhealthy 117 pesticide and mycotoxin coffee? Look, we all love to drink coffee. Let's drink coffee that loves us back. Let's drink Java Boost coffee. Simply go to cuppahealth.com today. That's cuppahealth.com. Be sure to use the promo code AMBER and save 20%. You can even order a single sample of Java Boost coffee for just $1 and try it before you buy it. Just go to cuppahealth.com and use the promo code AMBER and save 20% today.
Thank you for joining us today on The Amber May Show. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if there's someone that came to mind, please share this episode with them. Please follow us on Telegram at The Amber May Show, True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May, or Clout Hub. I can't wait to see you next time on The Amber May Show.